10 to 1, episode 196, Hating on Star Wars! Welcome to 10 to 1, the podcast where we make top 10 lists about everything, except when we don't. Today, I'm Melissa Kozer, and I'm joined by my friend Joanna Wilson. And we are going to talk about everything that's wrong with the Star Wars movies that we don't talk about.
That Disney made. Yeah. I need to be very clear that it's only because I love Star Wars so much that I'm here to hate on Disney Star Wars. I should be very clear about that.
So before we launch into this, Joanna, why don't you tell us about yourself? Where did you meet me? Who are you? What do you do? Why do you love Star Wars? Anything that's relevant.
Who am I? We don't want to get busted for copyright infringement. How did I meet you, Melissa? Through your husband, I think. I think we're both listeners of the Literary Life podcast. And then he was like, hey, this is my wife. And I said, cool. I got to know Brian Moore because he made the website for my bookstore. Woo! I'm here to do some shameless self-promotion. Mother made me mash my M&Ms. The Bookworm, B-O-O-K-W-Y-R-M. If you go to thebookwormhsv.com, that's all Brian's handiwork. I just edit the words on it sometimes. But he did all the coding for it. I'm very grateful. Yes, I have a used bookstore. We are in person only, but you can still support us on bookshop.org. Again, go to Brian's super cool looking website and you can find more information about it. When I was 8 years old, my parents were like, the special edition Star Wars is coming out. It's going to be in theaters.
The Christmas special edition?
No. No, this is like the 96, 95, 96 special edition where they re-released in the theaters, but with the edits, because now CGI could do Jabba the Hutt the way George Lucas wanted to. Anyway,
did they have Anakin Skywalker in there instead of...
Gosh, you're so... Yes, they do. Wait, no, they don't.
Okay.
They don't. Okay, so this is the mid-90s.
Okay.
Hayden Christensen is... 2002, 2005.
Okay.
So this is mid-90s.
So it's back in the glory days.
When this is George Lucas is still in charge. This is, he's finally got the technology to animate Jabba the Hutt the way he wants to. So he sticks in that scene with Han talking to Jabba before Luke and Ben show up at the Millennium Falcon, docking Bay 93. And anyway, so my parents are like, okay, before we go see it in the theater, because who knows what he's changed. This was before we knew like Greedo was going to shoot first for some reason. So we watched the VHS. So they said, okay, Joanna, it's time. And little eight-year-old me just sat there and the opening music and the opening crawl and just, you know, my hair blown back, my eyes wide, devouring the entire thing. Just, anyway, that's when I started loving Star Wars. I still feel that way when I watch the opening crawl. It's so good. It's so good. It's just like, yeah, let's go.
Well, there's space something about lasers. Hearing it in the theater, too.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
like the volume is at 11. It's all the way up.
I went to see... So I saw A New Hope, or as my dad just calls it, Star Wars, because that's what it was called originally. He saw the original 19 times in the theater, also to give you an idea of my background. I did not see Empire Strikes Back in the theater because we watched it late at night and I had nightmares at after bedtime about Yoda trying to turn me to the dark side. So I did not see that one on the big screen, but I did see Return of the Jedi on the big screen. And no, there was no Hayden Christensen yet because he had not yet been cast as Anakin Skywalker because we didn't know that was going to happen.
All right.
So
my background with Star Wars is when I was... 10 or 11. We were in the States.
Was this also the 90s?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, no, it was in the 2000s.
Oh,
so,
baby.
I don't think episode 2 had been made yet.
Okay.
I don't recall. No, it hadn't. Episode 1 was out.
Yeah.
And that is the first thing I saw.
Oh.
So we were visiting my older married brother. And they just had a trailer home, and so we were staying in a tent outside, and My sister and I sneaked out at night after mom and dad had gone to bed. And my older brother, Dale, let us watch episode one. And we didn't get very far before mom and dad figured it out and said, come on back to bed. But we got to where Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan sense there's a trap in the ship at the beginning.
Oh,
and
so very
it's
early.
Very, very early. We got just the barest bit, but it was enough to like fire my imagination. I was like, This is cool. Space swords and stuff.
Yeah.
And the Force and everything. And then a few years later, we moved back to the States from Puerto Rico because my parents were missionaries. And my piano teacher's son had the movies. And so I borrowed it from him. And from there on. So my first introduction was the prequels. And I didn't know what I know now. And I still carry some fondness for them as my first
100%
introduction.
I was 11 years old and the queen was a 14-year-old wearing crazy outfits and cool face makeup. She was amazing. I love her.
Well, there's still some really cool parts. I think Ewan McGregor's a very good actor. Hayden Christensen's terrible. And the dialogue written, I think that Brian and I were talking about this last night. The vision.
Yes.
Was good.
Yes.
The dialogue, the script writing and the enactment.
Yes.
Was not good.
And some of the enactment is due to the director being good at visuals and not good at scripts or actors. Because he is notoriously bad at both of those things.
Yep.
Because even Natalie Portman, Oscar-winning actress Natalie Portman,
you'll
also note, I noticed this in one of the Thor movies too, when she doesn't care, she doesn't act. So by episode three, she's
just done
dialing in a very bad performance.
It's a
bummer
bills.
Though, because Hayden and Ewan McGregor are still trying.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I'm done. And it's like, that's not fair to your fellow actors, but also I get it. Because you found out your character's going to die.
Yeah.
I too would be upset.
And yet, for all that, the prequels are still stories.
They are.
And they are movies that have... They had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
They had rules that they played by.
Oh, yeah.
And they kept to.
Uh-huh.
And I think that segues nicely into what this crap fest was of the revival that
revival
was basically the nail in the coffin, I'd say.
Yeah, it's so the other thing about me is when I was nine, I picked up my cousin had the Young Jedi Knight books by Anderson.
I loved those.
Sister. So I read, or not his sister, his wife, sorry, Rebecca. And so I read those.
Oh,
and then when I was
those.
Nine, I picked up The New Republic because there's a character in that one who's a villain in Dark Academy, is the second one, Shadow Knight, that one. So that was my first adult Star Wars book. And then I read all of them, all the Bantam books. And then Del Rey takes over and you get the Yuuzhan Vong books. New Jedi Order. I read all of those. I've read some of the prequel books. I haven't read all the like the Clone War books that Karen Travis did, but I'm familiar with them. But I skipped the Troy Denning trilogy where they all get hive-minded by bugs because I hate that plot device. I hate it. But I read Legacy of the Force. I did it. You know, you're there at the end being like, remember when Jason Solo just cracked jokes and loved animals and that was the entirety of his personality?
So I didn't read too many of the New Jedi Order. And I discovered that anything that happens after Star Wars A New Hope, book-wise, I didn't really care to read, with the exception of the Thrawn trilogy.
Oh, correct. And the Hand of Thrawn duology. You got to bookend it.
But I didn't read those. I didn't know.
My husband proposed to me using lines from that, although he hadn't
Nerd.
Read it. So I spent his proposal going, you haven't read that book yet. Why are you quoting it? And he married me anyway.
You guys are such nerds.
The woman, I walk into her house and it's just like, here's a map of Hyrule. Here's a map of Middle Earth. Here's a map of Redwall.
It's pretty
here's
great.
A framed pandemic game.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got nothing to criticize here. I saw you wiping drool from your mouth.
Okay. So anyway,
I have also read, I did read a whole bunch of the Star Wars books as well. Yeah. And was very steeped in the lore. Not as much on the after episode 6, because I wanted that to be the end of the story.
That's fair.
I didn't want it to keep on having problems. I realize that real life has problems, but at that stage where I was at, I wanted there to be a happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, and they have some problems, but not like these drastic problems where Jason Solo just like
just go to the dark side.
It just goes terrible.
And Jaina has to, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Kill Mar Jade, which Timothy Zahn is still upset about.
Yeah.
I also have a lot of just
and nerd Luke's lore. Love. I know. I was so that was another part where I was like, okay, I think I'm done with reading stuff after A New Hope.
I have older daughter and younger daughter, and for her second Halloween, I dressed older daughter up in all black, and then I gave her a little cardboard tube with, you know, like the black handle and the light blue, and we're walking along, and someone goes, is she Mara Jade? And I went, yeah! So one person recognized her costume, and that was all I needed. But that just, I love Mara Jade. I love her. And we're normal about the fact that Thrawn got to come into Disneyverse. Thrawn got to come into Disneyverse, but did Mara Jade get to come into Disneyverse? No.
Okay.
Salt number one. Let's go.
All right. So let's start with Force Awakens. What are your feelings?
Okay. So here's the deal. Once upon a time, there was this guy named J.J. Abrams, and he made a show called Lost. And everyone went, wow, that's genius. And I didn't watch it. I watched one episode, and it was beautifully structured. One character was dying as another character was giving birth. And that was like, so I see that there was some brilliance there.
Oh, you need to watch this. Sure. I'm wanting to rewatch it, and I need a buddy to watch it with.
Okay, but is the ending okay? Does it end well?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hot take.
Yeah,
I've heard otherwise.
Brian and I are the few who see it for the brilliance that it is.
All right.
Yeah.
I might consider this. I still owe my husband all of Stargate, but that's a different problem. So anyway, he makes a show called Lost. Everyone's like, wow, this guy's brilliant. And then they hand him the Star Trek reboot. And I watched that movie going, I just don't understand the premise. I did not understand it was alternate universe. I struggle. I'd had the same problem with the Golden Compass. It took me a long time to realize, oh, this is not our Earth with demons. It's a different Earth with demons. You think that would have been obvious from the fact that people's souls were manifested as animals outside their bodies, but no. So it took me a long time to figure out that's what they were doing. And even then, I was side-eyeing the whole thing until 3/4 of the way through the movie. When Leonard Nimoy is explaining the alternate universe thing and Chris Pine goes, that's cheating. And Leonard Nimoy goes, yeah. And I went, okay, all right. We acknowledge that we're being dumb here. but I also noticed that in making his alternate universe, J.J. Abrams destroyed Romulus in the regular verse, in like prime verse or whatever you want to call it. So now that there's just no more Romulus, we blew it up. It's not there anymore. And I was like, well, that sucks. I love Romulus. I love the Romulans. Love that. And then in this verse, he destroys Vulcan. He just does that. He just destroys Vulcan. Like, that's okay. And not only does he destroy Vulcan, he fridges Amanda, Spock's mother. Now,
wait. Oh, you're talking about the new movies. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. I've only seen the first one. I didn't see Into Darkness because I was so mad at the end of it. Because I haven't. My parents are Trekkies. My mom would say she's a Trekker. She doesn't want to identify with Trekkies, but they're Trekkies. I have watched the original series. I've watched large swaths of all the other series, except for Deep Space Nine, my parents didn't like that one, so we didn't watch it. But I'm not a Trekkie. I haven't read all the books. I've read some of the books because my mom had them. One of the ones I've read is Sarek, the one about, it's about when Amanda is like old and dying. And so it's about Spock, it's about Sarek, it's about Amanda. So I do love Spock's parents a lot. And I can't help but notice that in this movie, Amanda gets fridged. Is everyone familiar with the concept of fridging?
She dies.
Yeah, she dies. But not just dies, but like the woman character dies unnecessarily in order to spur on male development.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And to pull your strings, your heartstrings, and...
Kind of like when Thor's mom dies in the second Thor movie. It's the same thing. It's like, it's unnecessary. It's especially unnecessary because she could have been beamed up with everybody else. She did not...
Of all the characters that didn't make it, that's the one, you
know?
That's
the one, yeah. You know? And why? So that now Spock can be really angry. So I took issue with that. And at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? J.J. Abrams has pooped in the original Star Trek sandbox because he blew up Romulus. And then in this one, he blew up Vulcan. So I don't really want to play in this sandbox either. He pooped in the sandbox. I don't want to play in this sandbox anymore because J.J. Abrams pooped in it. So I didn't see any of the other Star Trek movies, even though I heard the third one was actually good, but that's the one that nobody saw.
Oh, I see. I've seen all three of them.
Is the third one good?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, all right.
It feels really close to the original series.
Yeah. And which, I mean, the actors are phenomenal.
Yeah.
The actors are phenomenal.
Chris Pine is a hit or miss, and he's a hit in that one.
Shout out to the Dungeons & Dragons movie. It's so good. Anyway, back on topic.
Reeling it back to Star Wars.
Reeling it back to Star Wars.
Which is not the same as Star Trek.
No, not the same as Star Trek. But as soon as they said they were giving J.J. Abrams Star Wars, I was like, guys, he's a sandbox pooper. Like, you don't let the kid who pooped in the sandbox into another sandbox. You don't do that until he proves he's not going to poop in it. So then I go see The Force Awakens, because of course I do, because it's a Star Wars movie coming out on the big screen, and so of course I'm going to go see it. Also, I mean, pause, we do have to mention that before Force Awakens comes out, Disney buys Star Wars from George Lucas.
Okay. Let's just pause there for a moment.
Yeah, we do have to discuss
it's
this.
It's incredibly short-sighted of George Lucas to sell to Disney. I don't know. He must. All I can say is he must not have seen much of what Disney had done
recently.
Yes, because what they do. Well, I don't know. They sort of have a history of just taking things that are great and making them less great. And you can look at that with all of the fairy tales that they co-opted to the big screen. The Little Mermaid?
If you go back and read the original Little Mermaid and then you watch the movie, it is shocking how much they actually kept in. I did this recently and I was amazed.
But it's so disappointing once you know.
They still
give
it a happy ending.
It's not the really good happy ending. It's the feel good happy ending.
Yes.
But it's not this is ultimately the greatest good happy ending. Of, you know, she sacrifices herself for her love and ultimately gains eternal life.
She chooses to die rather than kill her love.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, fair. But also, I mean, Hans Christian Andersen is a little hit or miss for me. So I grew up loving Golden Age of Disney movies. My favorite Disney movie is Sleeping Beauty, which is an artistic
masterpiece. Okay, well, now that one is pretty great. And I'll agree.
They changed the story. But, I mean, it's a dragon, and it's actually about the good fairies versus Maleficent.
Yeah.
The humans are just, like, the actors.
And the prince actually fights the dragon and kills the dragon.
Which Prince Eric kills the sea monster.
He does. That part is pretty great.
He does.
I mean, it doesn't get much more epic than driving a broken wreck into the giant... The
And Beauty and the Beast tells a very different story from the original.
No, and I'm not ragging on all like classic Disney.
Disney has,
but
good
they also
stuff.
Have like there.
They
there
did
was
the Black
a
Cauldron dirty.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. We can't. We keep getting sidetracked.
Okay,
we can't.
Focused. Okay. So here's what I'm going to say about Disney.
He needed to notice the trend, and he didn't. And like they were the worst possible choice of who to sell to.
Because the thing is, so I can't remember if they had the Muppets by then or not. Because another thing that I've been percolating over and need to read more about is the relationship between like George Lucas and the Muppets, because it was like Jim Henson. We think about the Muppets like, oh, Sesame Street, oh, comedy, but they were really pushing the boundaries of what these puppets could do. Yoda, like cool. Dark Crystal, all these things. Like,
yeah.
This was an exploration of an art medium. And I need to read more about that. So I can't remember if Disney had the Muppets, and I wonder if that was part of what influenced his choice because he had such a close relationship with them. But yeah, in 2002, I think Disney introduced the Disney Princess marketing scheme. And that is when they put Aurora in pink. And ever since then, Disney has just been going downhill with no looking up. Also, Frozen sucks. I said it. Anyway, back on topic. So now Disney.
I can't disagree with you.
Disney. Talk about screwing up a fairy tale. And it does link in, though, because Frozen does something that I think The Force Awakens does as well, which is there's this trend in media to be like, ha ha, we subverted this, but they don't have anything to say. Yeah. They're just like, ha ha, we made everything awful because that's how things actually are. Like, people don't actually fall in love in 2 days, but they don't have anything to offer in response.
In return, yeah.
And in fact, in Frozen, she still gets with the guy she met 3 days ago. That happens.
Yes.
Anyway, and so we have this trend in like modern media where we're subverting we're just turning everything upside down without offering a solution or offering commentary or offering our own vision. We're just destroying other visions. And so Force Awakens comes out and I go see it in the theater. And here's the problem. I walked out of it. Little 8-year-old Joanna watching Star Wars for the first time in her parents' living room on VHS. All she wanted was a girl Jedi. All she wanted. She went home and she made up stories about Luke and Leia, spoiler alert, Luke and Leia's long lost little sister who is like just out of frame in all the shots, but she's there having all these adventures with everybody else, right? That is all 8-year-old me wanted out of Star Wars. So I walk in to The Force Awakens and they put Rey up on the screen and I'm like, oh, it's everything I ever wanted. And then I walked out of the theater and went,
that is not everything I ever wanted.
I love her. And everything else about that movie sucks because we also have the problem. We have no respect for the original material. The original material is just a tool to be used to further our own, what we think is cool. We have no respect for the lore. We have no respect for the world building, no respect for the rules, no respect for the underlying philosophy. We just want to make something that we think looks cool and will make us money.
And even the make us cool part, that's a secondary.
Yeah.
It was so much of that movie was, hey, do you see this thing that harks back to those original movies you love? Looks like Saber. How'd you get that? That's a story for another day.
We're not going to worry about it. Also,
he's not in this movie, but we have a treasure map leading to Luke.
Who looked at Adam Driver and said, yes, if Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher had a child, he would look like Adam Driver. Who did that? Now, I will say, getting ahead of ourselves, but in the second movie, he does prove that he has a lot of acting chemistry with Daisy Ridley. So it's not a totally bad choice from that perspective. However, who did that? Who looked at this guy and was like, yeah, that's what I think. Also,
so I don't think Kylo Ren is a bad, Adam Driver is a bad actor.
No, very good actor.
And I'll agree The Last Jedi, the quote, heavily air quotes, chemistry between him and Rey is good. The interaction is the word I prefer to use.
All right. Clearly, we just need to come out and say it. No, we are not.
There's no chemistry.
We are not Reylo shippers. This is a Rey Finn safe space, and Reylo can get out of here. We'll get to that in a minute. Adam, for me, it's just the physical appearance. Like, what? And then, the fundamental premise of The Force Awakens is, you know how you were talking about you wanted the Return of the Jedi to be the happy ending? The fundamental premise of The Force Awakens is none of that mattered and the Empire One is still around. Nothing has changed.
Okay, and that was like my first big, like, what? But here's the thing. For everybody else, that was this was the safe option. It was more of the same. It was a very safe thing for everybody to do. And even now, this movie still has a high rating on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes.
Because it's just a ripoff of A New Hope.
Because it's just the same. Yeah, repackaged, but it was safe and it was money-making.
Yes.
But yes, this was the big thing for me when I watched this movie and then when I was rereading Wikipedia this morning to refresh my memory.
Did more work than I did.
I want the story of what the New Republic was like.
Yes.
I want to know how it all went south.
Yes.
Like, yes, they told us, what they give you the outline. I want to see it. That, to me, is more interesting than anything else that we actually got.
We're back where we started, guys. Okay, but
I wanted to see, how did these high ideals fall? This new beginning. What
in 15 years? In 15, the Republic lasts. Good wins for 15 years, and then the Empire takes over again. What?
And gets really strong.
And gets
fast.
Really strong, yeah. And can build another Death Star. Only we're not going to call it a Death Star.
It's a Starkiller. Yeah.
Which is, haha, get it? Because that was Anakin and Luke's last name in the first draft of Star Wars that George Lucas wrote. Haha, Starkiller, haha.
Wow.
And again, it's like, it's not actually paying homage. Paying homage implies respect. This is just name dropping.
Yes.
For points.
Yes.
With the nerds who, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, while we're talking about happily ever afters that don't happen, let's talk about Han and Leia. Okay, so this drives me nuts. When you have a sequel, like at the end of the first movie, they got married. They ended up together, whatever. And then the sequel is, they've divorced now. That's just...
That like, relationship the way was this never is gonna just, work.
The way this is just expected. I hate that. Some marriages do actually work, folks. In fact, a lot of marriages do actually work.
Okay.
The problem. You and I are apparently going to disagree here.
No. Here's the problem. Listen. The problem is I don't know how this happened to me, but recently I went on a deep dive in the AO3 Han Leia tech. So I've read a lot of Han Leia fanfic recently.
Okay. So here I think,
and I've been doing a lot of thinking, because Leia, I'm not gonna say Leia's easy to characterize, but I feel like Leia's pretty easy to write, even with the introduction of, because a lot of people are reading Claudia Gray's books. I read one of Claudia Gray's Star Wars books. It was boring. But so there's some more. Again, we have the psychologicalization of the fairy tale, where it's like, well, we have to give how are these people actually thinking if they're like fully developed people and not just roles in the story, which is a whole nother philosophical thing we can get into elsewhere. But even if you go into let's take Leia, who her whole planet's just been destroyed and she's lost everything, and she's she would have been raised to be a perfectionist, sort of. She has these roles, she has these things. She's a pretty easy character to do. Han Solo is harder, because he is at once the scoundrel, but also head over heels in love with this woman and would do anything for her, right? And so it's interesting. It's been interesting to me reading these things, watching people try to wrestle with how to portray Han. And a lot of times he gets woobified. That's the word. He gets woobified, and he's secretly nice with Leia, but then it's like, oh, he's just nice all the time. Like, there is still an edge to this man. He is a hardened criminal. Who has a heart of gold, right? So anyway, the point is, Han has a journey over the course of the original trilogy. And at the end, he accepts the commission, and he's with Leia. And Carrie Fisher's zoned out on coke the whole time, but that's fine. And they have a relationship, and it's going to work. It's going to last. Because, yes, there are people who... enjoy bantering with their spouses. Now, there are some relationships that don't work that way, but other relationships, there's lots of disagreement. And it's not vicious or mean or a sign that the relationship's going to fail. It's just that we're different people. And my husband and I grew up in the same town. And for the first 5 years that we came back here, we grew up just far enough apart that he takes different roads to get places than I do. and the bickering, the bickering banter that happened in the car. We're still married. We're fine. But it's like,
it would have worked. Yeah, they would have made it work.
They would have made it work. They would have been fine. They're both grown-ups. They last. Their marriage lasts. There's no reason to be like, oh, Han ran away. No, because Han has come into his own as a person.
Yes, he grew.
Responsibility.
He grew up.
Yeah. And he's her. Anyway, yeah. So them being broken up. Anyway. Yeah, and then we all know Han dies in The Force Awakens. Spoiler alert. Because Harrison Ford has been trying to kill Han Solo for years. Yeah. So like that was fine from that perspective. Could I watch it happen? Absolutely not. Did I close my eyes? Yes.
We had a friend that was seeing like some of the promo stuff coming out before, you know, as the movie was getting ready to release. He's like, Harrison Ford is so happy. He knows he's going to die.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. Like we knew
he called it.
We knew it was coming. But the fact that Han and Leia are broke. And that's
again, that was the worst part.
That's another problem with J.J. Abrams, which is going to bleed into the next movie, is that there are several like fundamental world building choices built into the story of The Force Awakens that Rian Johnson is going to have to pick up and be like, what do I do with this?
And he didn't.
The Last Jedi. See, I liked The Last Jedi. But we'll get there in just a second.
So I liked aspects of The Last Jedi.
Fundamentals of The Force Awakens. Nothing. Good does not triumph. Good does not win. Good does not last. You know, love does not last. Han and Leia's love does not last. Or it kind of does, but like the commitment, there's no commitment there, right? Like we didn't stick with the commitment. The Republic has crumbled and the Empire is super powerful again because that's inevitable that evil will just be super in charge again. Luke Skywalker is a coward who runs away from things. That's a premise baked into The Force Awakens.
We're just completely destroying everything, which could work if you have a plan for the next movies.
No. Why would we have one of those?
We're just flying by the seat of our pants.
No. So it's like J.J. Abrams is like, here's the story. And everyone's like, great. That's a New Hope Redux. Awesome. Going to make tons of money. People are going to love it. And nobody questioned.
We'll figure it out after that.
Nobody questioned the underlying assumptions that go into it. So anyway, Force Awakens. Rey's amazing. Love her. Finn, so much potential there. Poe was supposed to die. He was not supposed to come back. And then test audiences liked him, so he did come back. So you want to talk about not having a plan. That guy was supposed to be dead. Sorry,
you should not be rewriting the script mid. You know, when you're showing this to your test audience, that's not the time to rewrite anything.
No.
No, okay. So I have a problem with Finn.
Okay. Talk to me about Finn.
And this is going to sound racist. It's not. Hear me through.
I'm listening.
The problem is that he's black. Now, I don't have a problem with a black character being in the Star Wars movies. I have a problem with a black character being a stormtrooper because the stormtroopers are all clones. And this all goes back to the world building and the rules and them not keeping to it. The clones were part of what was going on was that with Palpatine setting up the New World Order, like they were killing aliens, and the clones were like this was their master race. It was very Nazi-ish.
Yes.
And so this is part of why they are so evil, and all of that aside, you know, racism and stuff aside, it's also the evil of everything being the same, everything being uniform, not embracing diversity. You know, everything, it goes to the evil of women have to be the same as men and there's no difference between the genders. That variety of evil too.
But also like, that evil of like women have to be the same as men, or on the flip side of it, on the other end of the spectrum, you get womanhood has to look exactly like this, which is long skirts, long hair, barefoot, and pregnant in the kitchen. Any time you try to have that kind of conformity.
So
the problem is conformity.
Yes. Yeah. And so that was part of why the Empire was evil, was that they would impose conformity and they didn't embrace diversity. And so that is why it was evil. And so those are rules. And so to break from that, and now they have diversity in the stormtroopers and stuff. It just, it again was this whole, like, you're not keeping with any of the rules anymore.
I see what you're saying with that. I think you can get around it by saying that after the defeat of the Empire for the, like, 15 years that the Republic's in charge again, the Empire loses access, and so they're kind of... So now they're going the orphan route. But here's the
thing. Finn doesn't even have a name. Poe gives him his name.
Yeah.
So they're still playing off of, these are all just all clones that have been created.
Or even, I think the idea was that they were orphans. Like, they're just gathering up, they're just ripping children from their parents. So, like, I see what you're saying with that. I don't have a problem with that. Okay. But I see... It can be a different, like, it's a different kind of evil. Like, it, and again, if they had bothered to explore it or consider the consequences, if they had thought through this decision to have a black guy be a stormtrooper, which also would have involved thinking through the decision to have a black guy be a traditional villain, you know, that's, anyway.
Okay, so while I'm raining on some parades, I'm going to disagree with you about Rey. I did not like her.
And everything I ever wanted.
Here's why. Mm-hmm. In order to have a strong female lead, the men must be strong too. Mm-hmm. The men were not strong. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. You have Kylo Ren portrayed as this real...
baby.
No, from the start, he's like this... I'm trying to think of what's the polite term. A real cool bad guy.
Yes.
You know, he catches the, he's got a double bladed red lightsaber, or no, it's like a sword.
The crossbar and, is also not double.
So that's kind of cool. And he catches it in midair and he throws it around and he's got a cool mask, you know, and all these things. He has a cape. Anyway, so all these things, obviously he has been trained in the Force. And then you have Rey, who is, I'm sorry, a Mary Sue. The Force. She ends up defeating Kylo Ren in a lightsaber battle by the end of the movie, even though she has zero training, zero practice.
The Force is with her. We'll talk about the Force in a second, yes, but continue.
Like, the utter lack... Yeah. They just ignored all the rules. And because it weakens Kylo Ren... Having a weak Kylo Ren, you weaken Daisy Ridley.
It's Kylo Ren is evidence of J.J. Abrams' immaturity, because he is meant to be cool with all those things, but actually he is a whiny boy play acting at all these things. The mask is stupid. The little lightsabers coming from the crossbar, they're stupid. You're going to cut your hand off.
You're going to cut your fingers
right?
off.
Right? Like, I mean, you know, when Darth Maul has a double-bladed lightsaber, like, that man knows what he's doing with it. Kylo Ren is play-acting at being bad.
Yeah.
He is, in the first movie, he is play-acting at being bad, and he thinks he's super cool. I think that the Imperial guy he's working with thinks he's a whiny brat, which is accurate. So to me, Kylo Ren's character has always been weak because he's very clearly putting on these trappings. He's like Zuko, right? Zuko's trying to act all tough and I'm going to do all... But like, actually, he's just a scared little teenage boy.
But then eventually he gets really cool.
Oh my gosh, Zuko's so hot. Anyway, Zutara forever. Anyway.
Okay, I'm with you there. So, I shipped them too.
So to me, that doesn't diminish her necessarily. But the problem is the movie... J.J. Abrams making the movie does not seem to realize this about Kylo Ren. He thinks Kylo Ren is cool and powerful. And so that, again, is a fundamental issue with the movie, is that this guy... And I had to say, sidebar, there was a similar thing with... I watched two episodes of Kenobi because I love Ewan McGregor. One of the few things in my life that I've, aside from my family, that I've had longer than I've known the husband. My husband is...
Your crush for Ewan McGregor?
I have an Obi-Wan Kenobi pillow that I got for my 11th birthday. I still have it.
And when you married your husband, you said... You just need to understand
the relationship.
This is coming into the bed with us.
No, he doesn't. Okay. No, he's my back support. He's my back support. No, Possum is the one I snuggle with in bed. That's a different problem. No, this is I have an Obi-Wan. Like, I love Ewan McGregor, so I gave Kenobi two tries. And in the second episode, there's a rooftop chase, and the Dark Jedi chick, or whatever they're calling them, is like doing all these cool, crazy flips and like all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm watching this knowing that people who use the dark side of the Force, it's all about excess and lack of control. And so you're using the Force instead of letting the Force flow through you and being guided for it, you're using it. And so these wanton displays of power are part of that because it's all about power. It's all about domination. It's all about not caring about proper conservation of resources. So I know that's why she's doing all these things. The people writing this think, this looks cool, and that's why she's doing these things. Because if the people writing this understood the Force and understood the Sith and Dark Jedi and all that, this character would have died the second she defied her boss in the first episode because she's expendable. Mm-hmm. There's a million more Force-sensitive kids in the universe that they could, like... Yep. You don't rise in the ranks at that level by being defiant. You get killed if the guy ahead of you is worth anything. So,
and again, rules that they've established back in episode 2. Palpatine tells Anakin, kill Count Dooku. Yeah. He's expendable, even though he's so much older and experienced. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we have this similar thing with Kylo Ren where it's like, oh, I think this is cool. And so it's cool. It's like, actually, it's a sign of his deep immaturity. So, I mean, yes, Rey is 100,000% a Mary Sue. Absolutely. 100%. She is all 8-year-old me talking about Luke and Leia's secret little sister, which is also a Mary Sue.
But again, let's step back. It's what the little... That's the one of the problems.
Oh, yeah.
It's what the little girls would want. We can sell action figures for the little girls. They can dress up as at Halloween like Rey.
To be fair, George Lucas is the reason we have action figures of movie things. He went in his original contract with Star Wars with Fox, 20th Century Fox. He retained rights for merchandise, and everyone was like, "Yeah, that doesn't matter." And that's part, like, yeah, Star Wars was a big, and he made money off the movie. He made his money through off merchandise, and they revolutionized the summer blockbuster, and they revolutionized the tie-in merch.
Yeah.
So that's, again, Star Wars, big cultural thing. Also, while I'm here talking about Star Wars, if you want to understand part of why Star Wars was such a big deal, you got to watch Logan's Run. Because Logan's Run came out like 6 months before Star Wars. And you look at the special effects and the costumes and the sets and that. And then you look at Star Wars and you go, oh, yeah, no wonder this blew everyone's minds. Anyway, sidebar. Back to Force Awakens. Yes, Rey is Mary Sue. Yes, tie-in. I will always love her the way I will always love Padme Amidala because I needed a girl. But there are issues there. And it's, again, it's just Star Wars all over again. But
I think it's time to move on.
Yeah, I think we have some differing opinions about this one. So you start with your negative. Bring it.
The Last Jedi?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. No. Okay. So when we watched all three of these in theater.
Yes, same.
When we watched the first one, like a lot of what I've expressed in this podcast is looking back now. But at the time, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I walked out of the theater.
Generally positive feelings from The Force Awakens.
Love her. Love Rey. I do think he has pooped in the sandbox in a couple of places, but I love Rey, so I'm willing to forgive.
And The Last Jedi, we were one of the few people that actually felt positive about it.
Yes.
Leaving the theater. And it was funny, we went with Brian's family. And so, like, his brothers were like, what did we just see? And we were like, actually, we liked it overall. There is a notable scene that I just hate. And we can get to that. But all things considered, I thought, it was different. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I liked about it. Mm-hmm. It was new territory. Yes. Instead of just, look, these things you love. Hey, do you see them? Here's another thing.
But you don't love them, J.J. Abrams.
And it had story.
Yes,
it had,
correct.
It had a plot. Mm-hmm. It tried.
Yes, correct.
And so I liked that.
Yes.
At the time, so we have a friend on a podcast that we listen to. It's the Sci-Fi Christian. You would like this podcast. Okay. It's a Catholic and a Protestant talking about everything from highbrow theology.
So it's this podcast right now. That's what we're doing right now. No.
Thank you. I'd like to think we're as good as them. Down to like the basest. They have three levels of listening. That they have the normal feed, and then they have the extra feed, and then they have the uncensored feed, where they get into all sorts of uncensored things. But it's all really good to listen to. Anyway, so they'll talk about. They do talk about a lot of pop culture stuff, mm-hmm. and sci-fi stuff. And then they also talk about theology. So I think you would really enjoy listening to them. Anyway, Ben is the Catholic. And his favorite scene from The Last Jedi mm-hmm. is the blue milk alien or green milk or whatever it was. That scene just cracked him up. And like he just rewound it and like.
I closed my eyes.
There was a whole uncensored episode.
No. Ben. Ben, whoever you are.
Devoted to that scene.
Ben, no. Ben, no. Okay, so you came out positive. Now you're more negative towards it?
As a result of The Rise of Skywalker. Okay. The Rise of Skywalker, which we will get to.
Yeah.
But it just completely destroyed any semblance of these people had a plan. No,
they did not. Okay, so I think we actually have the same opinion of the Last Jedi. So there is a moment in it where the guy talks about where the guy it's like a more wretched scum of hive and villainy. It's like a throwback to that line. You know, like we have to go into where like the absolute dregs of society are and meet with the most evil people in the world. And then there's a cut. He uses a transition like George Lucas uses transitions in the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the gala for the weapons mm-hmm. manufacturers. And it's a visual joke. It is.
That's your least favorite scene.
No, it's not my least favorite scene.
Oh, okay.
He uses the medium of film to make an ironic statement. Which is not something I think J.J. Abrams as a filmmaker is capable of. I only took one film class in college. So, like, my understanding of all this is very basic entry level. But Rian Johnson made a movie using the medium of film as part of how he told the story. He has a visual image. He understands it's not just about putting the camera in front of things and then being like, ooh, look, it's so shiny and exciting. Like there's thought put into actually how a film works. And so that baseline just I was like, okay, all right, this guy knows what he's doing. Yeah. This guy has a craft. Let's see what he does with it. I think the stuff, you know, there's the banter is more, you know, 21st century. Like could you just put a shirt on, you know, like that. That would never have that. That's not going to happen.
So what does that mean? Like stop showing off? Like
no, like he's literally shirtless, and she's like, I cannot concentrate because you don't have a shirt on.
Oh yeah,
it's that one where they're having their like psychic, you know, their first bond conversation, and like you. That's not the kind of language you get in high fantasy, high yeah. space opera. Like you wouldn't really get that in the original Star Wars. You're not going to get that in like Lord of the Rings, you know.
To be fair, but, though, all of us girls in the audience were like, yes, please put a shirt on.
Yeah. So but like it's okay because we are not fully in that realm anymore. He's telling a more grounded,
yeah.
lower level story, which again is part of what he's doing because he is trying to do something. Now, I know Mark Hamill did not like making The Last Jedi. He did not like it. My dad says you can tell watching. I was spending a lot of it being like, what's happening? But like you can tell in a lot of his scenes, he is actively fighting the direction he's been given. And that he's only really happy when he's talking to the puppet. When the ghost of Yoda shows up and he's talking to an actual puppet. And I don't blame Mark Hamill.
Which, I mean, it's sad because Mark Hamill is such a skilled actor.
And yeah. But I don't think it's fully Rian Johnson's fault either, because I think Rian Johnson is working with the premise J.J. Abrams gave him, which is that Luke, Ben Solo dipped his toes into the dark side and Luke Skywalker ran away because he was like, oh no, I'm a failure. And so Rian Johnson is
trying to pick up the pieces.
He's following the logical conclusion of that, which gives you a Luke Skywalker that is unrecognizable to the guy who plays Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense because, Luke Skywalker would never do this. But if this is what I'm coming into and I said he did this, then we have to keep going down this train. So are the Luke sections of it problematic? Yes. Is it Rian Johnson's fault? No. Do I blame Mark Hamill for fighting Rian Johnson and blaming Rian Johnson? No. It's a bad situation. It's a bad situation for everyone. So, like, yes, those parts are rough. But it's because, yes, Luke Skywalker is unrecognizable because J.J. Abrams made him that way. We need to be very clear who laid that foundation. And it was our favorite sandbox pooper. So we have that. I know the thing is, I'll be honest, Poe is a character...
I didn't care about him.
Interested me. And once again, he was supposed to die. So now Rian Johnson has been handed this character that we know nothing about.
Yeah.
We know nothing about because he was dead, presumed dead for most of the first movie. So did Rian Johnson maybe make some questionable decisions, hot-headed Hispanic, all that discourse? I'm willing to give it to those people. I accept what you say. Sure, that's a problem. I don't care about Poe. Which is also a problem. I should care about Poe, but I don't. So that whole plot line, I think he's like, okay, what do I do with this? Did he make good decisions about what to do with it? Not necessarily. But again, he was given nothing to work with on that front. I do think the movie is too long. I think it drags. As much as I love that cut to the weapon manufacturer gala, I think the whole subplot with Benito Del Toro, is that who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Fantastic actor. I think that whole subplot takes too long.
What character does he play again?
He's the guy that Finn and Rose are contacting.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a betrayal involved at some point. It just takes too long. It we lose a little bit of the focus. I think... You know, Leia and her lady buddy. I don't remember. Like, I did not rewatch the movies in preparation for this because I love myself. It was fine. Like, okay, all right, we're doing things. Again, that gets into the Poe stuff being messy. Rose, love Can her.
Love her. Come on. It's not her fault. This is the worst character.
It's not her fault.
In the whole three movies, perhaps in all nine movies.
No, that's Kylo Ren.
I hated Rose.
I mean,
she might even be worse than Jar Jar Binks.
No.
Yeah.
No, she's a human being. You can't say that about her. Jar Jar Binks was funny to me
when I was a kid. He was funny.
Yeah.
Rose stops Finn from sacrificing himself. Oh, the moment that this movie could have been great. Mm-hmm. Like it really is building to this really poignant moment, the end of Finn's story. He's come a long way and he's going to sacrifice himself to save the rebellion and take out the First Order and all that. And Rose stops him. That's not how we're going to fight them, by losing what we love. But by keeping one. No.
Okay, yeah, that's a bad story moment. That's a very bad story moment.
Yes.
Again, the end of that movie also, three endings to the movie.
It's the forced love.
Yes.
Like, there was nothing to set up that she loves him or she like or anything.
No, she definitely has a crush on him. That's obvious.
Yeah, but you don't do that for someone you have a crush on.
Well, that you just met. She's Sydney Carton-ing it. But she's failing to Sydney Carton. I will say that to me, the Rose character cemented the relationship between Finn and Rey.
I think you are a sucker for female leads.
100%. But I should, like, she, I felt like she, it was, I mean, and also the vitriol that the actress herself experienced was.
Well, no, that's not fair.
It was not fair and not cool. So, like, that also colors my perception of, like.
Well, no, I agree. She's people not that should not
bad.
Say.
Like, she's not that bad, actually, guys.
No.
But yeah.
I don't hate her as a person. No, yeah. I just hate that they put that in the story. Yeah. That was terrible.
To me, she was like, okay, we're, and I think part of it too runs into what I was saying about the whole, like, put your shirt back on, that this movie is partly struggling with, are we telling a more grounded story? Are we going back to the high space opera? Because J.J. Abrams had the trappings of the high space opera without any of the content. Rian Johnson is like, well, then let's take that to its end, but then we're not in the realm of space opera anymore. Now we're telling a different kind of story, but maybe we should. Da, da, da. I mean, it's not a perfect film. It has lots of problems. Again, most of them are J.J. Abrams' fault. But he did try to do things. And so I think part of, like, Rose stopping Finn is that we're not in the realm of space opera anymore. Now we're in the realm of a slightly more psychological telling. And is that the best way to go? No. Again, I think Rose's affection for Finn is legitimate. And I see why she, and it's a mistake. Like, it doesn't, like, him not sacrificing, this is an error, which to me shows that Rose is not meant for Finn. And I think the way he treats Rose, and then when he and Rey are reunited in the end of that movie, Your Honor, they're in love. Like, the hug they give each other, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, part of this movie has been these two people trying to find each other again, which you don't really think about. And because she's talking with Kylo Ren so much. And so actually, let's go to that real quick, because I do want to say that, again, they have a phenomenal chemistry, even when they're acting off each other and like.
Yeah, no, like, they and, but work. So
at the end of it,
they interact.
He chooses evil. He chooses to be evil. She offers him redemption and he chooses evil.
Okay, here's what my friend Ben from the Sci-Fi Christian
Ben
said.
No.
And I'm with him on this.
All right, let's hear it.
You're not going to be in for it because you're all about the female lead.
I'm here for it. Let's go.
Rey should have turned to the dark side.
Ooh.
When she went into the scary cave.
Are you,
or whatever it was where she had the, you know, her dark side, whatever it was, she should have turned to the dark side there and joined Kylo Ren. And then episode 9 could have been about either her or Kylo Ren as well, like their rescue. And then you would have given Luke something to do.
Well, he can't have something to do because he dies at the end.
But we could have kept him around.
We could have kept like, her. We could have killed Leia again, and that would have solved so many problems with the third movie.
Okay, that rest is another. That peace, is one
Carrie.
Of my
rest in peace.
That is one of my issues with Episode 8. Even though I came away from it kind of feeling good, you know, we're doing whatever we want to with the Force. The Force can do anything now. Snoke can connect Kylo and Rey's minds using the Force. And Carrie Fisher can get shot out into space and protect herself using the Force. Like, this is ridiculous. Now, I will say, Luke projecting himself planets away.
That's pretty cool.
I'm not going to fight that one. That one's pretty cool. But the others just, like, it stretches the limits of believability. And anytime, like, we're always suspending our disbelief anytime we watch a movie, but there, you have to recognize there are limits.
There are limits, yes.
And when you're sitting there and you're taken out of the space that you're in, the movie, because you're sitting there, I don't believe this anymore. That's not good.
Again, I don't think every choice Rian Johnson made was a good one, but I think he did at least like make choices based on an internal measure that wasn't just what's going to sell tickets. And I will say
there is that. I respect
will
that.
Say that thanks to Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, we know that force bonds are a thing and that some Jedi have that ability. So it's not totally unusual because
But now I'm
bringing in video game lore, so yeah, maybe don't listen.
Which
to
they
me.
Said anyway, yeah. None of that matters.
Oh, so, yeah.
Like
we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. I have
see if they had been like all of these things do matter. Then okay, we've got rules, and this is something that people need to realize. Rules are a good thing. They give structure.
That's what makes the game fun.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Bluey. That's how if you can do anything you want all the time, there's no excitement. There's no like, how are we going to work around this situation?
And then you're a slave to whatever you feel like doing because there's no boundaries on it.
Yeah.
And now you have to constantly decide what to do, which is actually, as we all know, decision fatigue, a very real problem.
Yes.
It's actually not freeing, but that's a freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. That's that kind of freedom is what that is.
So actually, while we're ragging on ignoring the force rules, I just want to talk about Ghost Yoda using a bolt of lightning. Like,
I'm glad you remember that scene because
I'm
still back on Kylo Ren needing to put a shirt on.
I think we're never gonna get off that hill. So like, I love that there's force ghosts. That's great. That's in keeping with it. But they should not be materially affecting the world.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
So yeah. Anyway, I don't have more to say about that. It's just another little rant I have.
I mean, okay, I can see the like Rey should have gone to the dark side thing. She didn't do that. So going with what we're
but again, we need the little girls to be able to dress up her as her for Halloween.
Because I love her.
Yeah, you're a part of the problem.
I am. I 8-year-old me is the problem.
At least you can acknowledge it. That's the first step.
We support women's wrongs. So,
that's so good.
So, okay. So very important thing that, I forgot to mention this. So Kylo Ren in this movie, at the very beginning of the movie, the guy grabs the mask and is like, this is the stupidest thing and destroys it.
Okay. Yes. We all cheered for that.
Which is the moment when I went, I'm here. You have me. I'm willing to go on this journey with you.
Yes.
Because you're correct. Because again, he understands that it's a dumb sign of immaturity. And so from a more like story level perspective, like now Kylo Ren cannot hide behind being Kylo Ren anymore.
Yeah.
He has to be Ben, who has chosen to be bad. And so then he has this whole like thing going back and forth with Rey, where they're each trying to persuade the other to
no, come that to was their good. Side.
It's so good. We get to the end. He is given the opportunity for redemption. And he chooses evil.
And I don't have a problem with that.
No. I'm just saying, this is a premise thing. I want to be very clear. He chooses to be bad. Because when we talk about Rise of Skywalker, we're going to talk about how J.J. Abrams did not understand that choice.
Well, and again, he has twice chosen to be bad.
Yes.
He killed his father.
Yeah.
He had the choice to come back. You know, so again, he is making that groove deeper, that track in the rug.
And there comes a point when you're dealing. So, slight sidebar, I have some disagreements with some friends about a recent video game and the villain in it, who's kind of an anti-villain, but also a villain.
What game?
And I really don't want to out myself right now. But let's just say this guy has been given multiple opportunities to maybe pick a different path instead of sticking to what he thinks is right. In his misguided judgment of what has to be done.
Is it Breaking Bad?
No. He has to do this thing. And to me, there comes a point where a character makes enough, like, I am all for redemption. I am all for Jesus saving our sin. But sometimes a character is so evil that the path to redemption is self-sacrifice.
Agreed.
Is death. You have to, like...
Well, it's
Darth
Pharaoh.
Darth Vader has to... sacrifice himself to save another person.
That is his only redemption. Yeah.
Yeah.
So It's very much Pharaoh in the book of Exodus.
Yeah.
He's given multiple opportunities to change, and he keeps on hardening his heart until there's a point where it says God hardened his heart.
Yeah.
He has already hardened it so much that he's not going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, agree.
Kylo Ren has jumped that shark.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren is evil. The only path to redemption for this guy is self-sacrificial death. We do know that. But also, I don't even know if, not that he doesn't deserve redemption, but he has now chosen to become the villain.
Yeah.
He is not just like the Emperor Palpatine, like in Return of the Jedi, Emperor Palpatine is a villain. Darth Vader was a man who has a chance at redemption, which can only come from death.
Yeah.
And so that's what we get. We get Emperor Palpatine just dies because he's the villain. Darth Vader gets the redemption, but dies. And even then, it doesn't, like, make everything better, right? Like, Luke is the only one at the pyre being like, man, he was a good guy in the end. Because it's more complicated than that.
Yeah.
So to me, when he rejects Rey and sticks with the dark side, Kylo Ren has shifted from being a potential Darth Vader to a Palpatine. He is now the big bad that we have to take down.
It sounds like you're ready to move on to The Rise of Skywalker, which, first of all, dumb title.
Stupid. Oh my gosh. So we should be very clear. I went to The Rise of Skywalker.
We did too.
I went to the movie with my husband, my sweet, long-suffering, shout out to my husband. Let's just say, once upon a time, a younger Joanna went to Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, the movie, after a very, very, like, 12-hour day shift at work in the summer, and she was very tired, and she wasn't even sure she was going to go get to see the movie with her friends, but then she did. And I think it's like 3/4, maybe even 7/8 of the way through the movie, they set the Burrow on fire. They just do that. They just set the Burrow on fire in the 6th Harry Potter movie. They just set it on fire, even though that's where Fleur and Bill are going to get married at the beginning of the 7th movie. They just set the Burrow on fire.
But you can do anything with magic. They rebuilt it. Not a big deal.
Let's just say the only reason I didn't get kicked out of the theater for my reaction to that moment was because the usher couldn't find me. But I was loud and I was unhappy. Sorry to everyone who was in that midnight premiere with me. It had been a long day. My actions were, my word choice was,
your emotions were
inappropriate.
Yeah.
And I do apologize. Let's not judge each other our worst day. But anyway, I have a history of vocalizing my emotions in the movie theater. So we went to see The Rise of Skywalker. So let's pause here. Back in the day when there were Star Wars books that I was talking about loving so much, the Thrawn trilogy that we referenced by Timothy Zahn. Love that man. Didn't get to see him when he was in town for the Pop Expo in April. I'm still sad about it. Anyway, he'll come back. There were a couple of people in the acknowledgments, and one of them was named Sue, and I can't remember the other one, but in the acknowledgments of every Star Wars book, they acknowledged these women who were the continuity editors, basically. It was their job to know the lore and know the world and say, hey, you can't do that, or hey, that character is actually this, or like, that was their job. They existed to make sure everything was in order. So that's
awesome.
That's
awesome. I love that that was a thing.
That's thing number one. And then thing number two is that the lady who was in charge of talking about Star Wars to the media when some negative reactions were coming out about Rise of Skywalker said, oh, well, you know, it's not like the Marvel universe where we have all these comics and years of lore to draw on. You know, we're having to make it up as we go.
No, you aren't.
And then let's see, the Rise of Skywalker, I believe the central conflict is that Emperor Palpatine has cloned himself. Or there is a clone of Emperor Palpatine out there, and he has corrupted Han and Leia's son. That he's corrupted Kylo Ren.
We don't even get that. It was somehow he has come back.
Yeah.
That's all. That was the one line we got.
There's like a clone tank at the end of the movie. The point is,
no, that's for cloning Snoke.
Oh, right. I forgot about Snoke's existence entirely. Hate that guy. The point I'm trying to make here is that there is, in fact, a storyline in the quote-unquote legacy expanded universe, where a clone of Palpatine attempts to turn Han and Leia's son to the dark side.
Okay.
There are some differences. It's a clone of Palpatine, and it's Anakin Solo while he's still in the womb, so he's not out and running around. It's in comic book. It's in a comic book.
He tried to, like, I don't know, cast force power at him to turn evil while he's in the womb?
Yeah, he's reaching out to him through the force. It's a Dark Horse comic. Oh, we don't have comics like Marvel does. It's literally a comic. It was in a comic.
I think I better turn your volume down a little
bit. I'm done now. I'm done yelling. Maybe. Maybe I'm done yelling. So anyway, so that just tells you that we know they're aware of the quote-unquote legacy stuff because Thrawn's in the TV shows now, right? There's a new book about Thrawn. I don't blame Timothy Zahn. I would also keep writing Thrawn if given the opportunity. But we know they're aware of it. And so to come out and bald-faced lie. Anyway, I'm normal and fine.
They didn't lie just to you. They lied to all of us. Don't take it personally, okay?
It's extremely personal. Years of my life I devoted to this franchise, and now I'm here to bring it back. So let's talk about the beginning of the movie. Remember those continuity ladies I was talking about? One of their jobs was to know, what you can and cannot do with, say, hyperspace travel. A thing you can't do with hyperspace is jump into hyperspace when you're in a gravity well, which is why interdictor starships work, is because they create gravity wells that can pull ships out of hyperspace. You have to be a certain distance away from planets, from stars, in order to jump into hyperspace. Is hyperspace real science? No. Is it just crazy wormholes? Nobody knows how it works, or time dilation? Nobody cares.
It works. That doesn't matter. It's a rule we've made.
Hyperspace works, and these are the parameters for hyperspace.
Yes.
So, I, an adult woman with children, am in the theater, and they're jumping to hyperspace from Atmo. Within the first 5 minutes of this movie. And sorry to the few people who were in there with us. It was late. It had been out for a while. I don't think there were a lot of people with us, but I was yelling, you cannot jump to hyperspace in a gravity well. I was saying that out loud to the screen. And my husband was like, you have to stop. The movie has just started. Like, we're not going to make it if you're already this mad. And I was like, also, they gave it back to J.J. Abrams because he can make things that make money, not things that, like, make people think. And like, when I'm critiquing Rian Johnson, it's like, he made a decision, I disagree with that decision, we can talk about the decisions.
Yes.
When we critique J.J. Abrams, we're talking about the poop in the sandbox, right? That's not something you have an intellectual debate with. It's just poop.
Yes.
And you're just yelling at him about poop. So anyway, so yeah, tell me about your feelings about Rise of Skywalker. I've only made it 5 minutes in. Please continue.
Oh, well, I mean, the whole movie... So again, we went with all of Brian's family. Mm-hmm. It was on Christmas break. Mm-hmm. And, just a fun family outing.
No.
And the whole time, Brian is sitting there just cracking up over how incredibly bad
this is. So bad.
And I will freely admit, I do not have the intellectual glasses that Brian always wears when he's watching movies. And so I'm not as highbrow, but even I was sitting there and I was just like, what am I watching?
Correct.
Like, my mouth was open and I wasn't even angry. I was just like, this isn't even a good movie.
It's so bad.
It's incoherent. But here's the thing now. Okay. Looking back at what The Force Awakens was like, now I can see we were headed to this train wreck the whole time.
Yeah.
I can see all the different areas. When we started just throwing out the rules of how the universe behaves, mm-hmm. That's how we ended up with this. Where it was just, again, it was, here's more of the things that you loved. And it really felt like that. Like, it was like that with The Force Awakens, but even more and without the semblance of a story.
No, there is no story. Yeah.
You guys want to see Kylo and Rey kiss? We're going to make them kiss. And
I'm so sorry.
Okay, I laughed out loud
in the theater with me when I started yelling incoherently at that moment.
So it's not often that a bad, like, that I will completely flip like this, where the whole time I was like, wait, what? What am I watching? And then I just started laughing. Like, this was the moment that completely flipped it for me, where I was like, okay, now I can stop trying at all to take this movie seriously. That Emperor Palpatine, who is somehow back, is now going to force make... I can't even say it. Kylo Ren and Rey kiss.
No, he didn't force make them kiss. It was a free choice.
No, yes.
I mean, if you say
Do people made... actually say that?
Okay, so here's a few things.
You can't. He force made them kiss. It's in the movie. He brings his hands together and they kiss. And they're fighting it and he forces them. I will look up the scene for you if you'd like.
Okay. No. The scene I'm thinking of where they kiss is where Rey is dead.
No. No.
There was another
they're
one?
They're fighting and Palpatine makes them kiss. Yeah, I'm gonna look the scene up for you right now. You have to see this. It's amazingly
no
bad.
Memory of this.
You shut it out of your brain as a matter of self-preservation. Maybe I should just wait till after we're off the air.
We so should that, probably do that.
I don't want you swearing on air or anything.
I will accept this with caveats so we can keep moving, but I don't remember that. I only remember the one at the end where Rey is dead, which we'll get to in just a second, because I was yelling at the screen at that one. I don't think the other one I noticed, which makes me wonder what I was yelling at instead of noticing. So remember how I said the problem... A couple problems with Rise of Skywalker. One, dumb title. Two, we gave it back to J.J. Abrams. Three, J.J. Abrams is immature and Kylo Ren is his Mary Sue. Like, Rey is a Mary Sue, but she's not a... She's the, in the generic, like, morally neutral sense of the term, right? Like, she still has struggles. She still has things she has to go through. Kylo Ren is a Gary Stu, whose every mistake is just waved away as like, oh, well, his feelings were hurt and he was sad inside. And he's really sorry he stabbed you, Han Solo. And he should get a chance to apologize to show how sorry he is that he stabbed Han Solo. No. No. He has picked villain. He has gone full Palpatine. He is the bad guy who must be destroyed. And instead, the whole movie is like... No, he's just a sad boy who needs his mask back. He's just sad. You not understand. He my precious cinnamon roll. No. So anyway, J.J. Abrams, the whole movie is just J.J. Abrams being like, you tried to turn my super bad butt awesome guy into a wooby. And no, actually, he has a lot of real pain and deserves redemption. Incorrect. So... And then we get to the end of the movie. You'll remember the only reason at this point I care anything about The Force Awakens is because of Rey. The only reason I'm still at these movies is because of Rey. Because I love her. Because she's everything 8-year-old me wanted. And am I part of the problem? Yes. So we have everything 8-year-old me wanted out of Star Wars. A little girl who's part of the story and gets to be a Jedi. And she's gone through so much. Daisy Ridley, phenomenal actress. Like, you see her struggle. You see the grit. You see the strain. And what does J.J. Abrams do to her? He kills her. He fridges her. Oh, but she comes back to it. No, I had to watch her die. I had to watch her die and be dead. I had to watch J.J. Abrams go, your little girl dreams and hopes and wishes are nothing compared to my desire for my special cinnamon roll Gary Stu Kylo Ren to get his redemption arc and get to be a good guy in the end, because that's what matters. Rey is just a tool and a means to an end. Also, I'm going to have him kiss her, though, because she's the girl and she's hot. So he's going to get to kiss her before he dies. Reader, listener, the noises I was making in that theater, he made me watch her die. She comes back. No, she's dead. She dead. Okay? Like, you look at her and she's dead.
Yeah. Again.
She's unmoving Again, and why is she dead? So that Kylo Ren can sacrifice himself and be a good guy again.
Again, the Force can do anything we want it to. We can use it to bring back the dead.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so Rise of Skywalker is a very bad movie on every level. And it's a very bad movie because J.J. Abrams is a sandbox pooper and values Kylo Ren over everything else because he's bad at stories and movies and should not be given any other franchises ever again.
So I'm going to look it up on YouTube after we're off. Mm-hmm. Now, if I can't find that clip, that does not mean it did not happen. And here's why.
Okay.
Because they can go back and re-edit movies just like they did with putting Hayden Christensen instead of.
That's true.
So I would not be surprised if there was so much outrage over the Force kiss. Because that was a real thing. And people were like, what the heck? What is this? Like, even the super fans were just like, I'm not buying that. And so unless you were a super fan who completely does not live in the real world, there were a few people who were like, they kissed. Hurry.
You do remember them kissing when he gives her, when he sacrifices.
Yes, I do, remember that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that did happen. I know it happened because he made me watch it. J.J. Abrams had Star Wars in his hands. And what did he do with it? He killed Rey so that Kylo Ren could kiss her and nobly sacrifice his life because actually he's just a misunderstood guy. No.
Yeah.
Wrong. J.J. Abrams, agree. You were wrong.
Agree. Well, and if Rey had gone bad with him, maybe she, like, the third movie could have been about her.
He's Palpatine, she's Vader.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, yeah. And, like, maybe as she gets redeemed, then maybe she helps to redeem him or something.
He still has to die, though.
Yeah. Again. Like, why don't they ever consult the common man? The common man could write a better movie. If you have an idea of how it should go, okay. You've got the basic trappings. Let me come in and refine it for you.
Hollywood, if you ever decide to remake Ella Enchanted, I'm here for you.
Oh,
I have a color palette picked out. Except it's sad that there's no Ella Enchanted movie. There's this really fun movie I watched one time where Cary Elwes was a bad guy and Anne Hathaway saying, "Find me somebody to love." Loved that movie. It was so much fun. Can't remember the name of it. In other news, there's no movie adaptation of Ella Enchanted.
That is worthwhile. Yeah.
This is called dissociation, friends.
I was so angry when I watched that movie, the Anne Hathaway.
Dissociation. Yeah, I was
so angry.
Dissociation.
Such a good story. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, well, I just started reading it to my kids last night. Oh, I think the last thing, was there anything else I wanted to say? Rise of Skywalker, stupid name. Rey claiming the Skywalker name at the end, stupid.
Agree. She's not even theirs. She's officially
Palpatine's granddaughter. Yeah. Oh my god.
So can we just be like, ew for a moment? that somebody had to bear Palpatine's child.
This is not okay.
Yeah. This is
not okay.
This is so much like
Rey deserves so much better. She should be in a different movie. A couple other things I wanted to say. That was dumb. The fact that Rey and Finn don't kiss at the end, even though Your Honor, they're in love and we know that. Super dumb. And also, once again, in media these days, we don't know what to do when we have actual, like, forces of good and evil that are actually, like, embodied, real world affecting forces that you can see. And that's part of why we're so bad at the Force these days. And Kylo Ren was a villain and should have just died and should not have gotten to apologize to Han Solo. That was also very dumb. Rest in peace, Carrie Fisher. I would have loved to see what the movie would have been like if you had been able to be in it. I think it could have been interesting to have a mother confront Kylo Ren because we never got to see him confront his mother. That would have been great.
Yep.
But I mean, I think God might also have been sparing Carrie Fisher from being in that movie. He might have been sparing her that none of them had to be in the movie. And honestly, I respect that, Lord, and appreciate it on her behalf. Rest in peace, Carrie. And is there anything else we need to cover? I love Rey. You can't stop me.
I will love you in spite of you being wrong. Because I have risen to that point in my Christianity.
I'm very
I don't have to change your mind.
You just have to remind me at every instance that I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, it's the Christian thing to do. You don't endorse people in their sin. Anyway,
touche.
I think we've reached the gamut of Star Wars. We've reached the gamut of pretty much every other pop culture reference.
I'm just getting started.
We've gotten Star Trek and Harry Potter and Avatar the Last Airbender and
Zutara Forever.
Everything else that in between. So if you have any thoughts on any of these topics, there's a whole bunch more that I left out, but you got to them all, and I'm impressed.
Can I make a top 10 list real quick? I feel like I should make a top 10 list.
Sure.
Top 10 favorite things about non-Disney Star Wars. I love Mara Jade. She's my favorite. And then I also love lightsabers, and I love Ewan McGregor, and I love his portrayal of Obi-Wan Kenobi. There's a really great expanded universe novel about Obi-Wan Kenobi. Love that. I think I'm at number 3. What else do I love about Star Wars? I love outer space. I love getting to fly through space. I love Chewbacca. He doesn't get enough love. They killed him off in the expanded universe because nobody knew what to do with him, and that was sad. I love the spaceships, and I love the droids. We didn't even talk about the droids.
Do you love the spaceships with winged horses on them?
Which spaceships with winged horses on them?
That was also another thing that like made everybody angry in Rise of Skywalker.
I'm only talking about original Star Wars things that I love right now.
Real Star Wars.
I love Queen Amidala and her handmaids. I love the Tumblr post that talks about like, oh, Naboo is a land of peace, but also we have these handmaids who all look the same and are super capable of violence.
I really love that.
I love all the like in-world explanation. I love the way Star Wars makes up silly names for things, like calf instead of coffee. Actually,
the Wheel of Time does that.
I mean, it's pretty common, but I do love how Star Wars does that. And I think what I love most about Star Wars, or number 10 on the list, going in opposite order, I just love how when I watch the first movie, I love that feeling like the world is open and anything is possible.
Yes.
And there are heroes who can save the day and there will be loss, but good will triumph over evil. And that is the number one thing missing from the Disney Star Wars. And they're never going to get that back.
And on that note, write us in at tto@kozer.us to send us your thoughts. This has been a lot of fun diving into it with you, Joanna. And
thank you for having me. That's what you say. Thank you for having me.
Until next time, I'm Melissa Kozer. I've been podcasting with Joanna Wilson on 10 to 1. It's pretty great music, isn't it?
It's really great music.
Brian's brother made that.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, thanks again for this, and way to end it on a positive note until you said, and we're never going to get that again. I was like, oh, crap.
But you can still watch the original movies.
The original movies.
There are some DVDs out there where Han shoots first, so you can still find those. They're
that
probably
is so
worth a lot
important.
Of money.
Han needs to shoot first. It's so stupid if he shoots second.
Han shoots first.
Yes.
And those are still out there, and you can find them. And that's what I'm showing to my children.
Yes.
So the next generation will be properly educated.
Exactly. In the same. Now, can you still find DVDs or any kind of format where Hayden Christensen is not in the...
As long as Han shoots first, yes.
Okay. Yes. That's what...
My parents have this DVD. It does exist. That's what I'm showing to my children.
Okay. Make sure that stays in the family, that it gets passed down.
Yes. I have my name on it. Yes. Correct.
Is it in the will, though?
That's a good point. I'll go check. Goodbye.